Camera, welcome to Heroes with Jay, Jack, and Mike Reborn. My name is Jay.
My name is Mike.
And I can't believe we had to wait so long for season two to happen after the greatest season finale of any TV show of all time.
The point of this podcast is we felt that, you know, season two just of Heroes is arguably one of the best seasons of TV there is.
I wouldn't even say arguably. It's definitively the best. I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, that show.
Okay,
I'm coming out hot. Like, yeah, you know, yeah. A nice hot Peter Petrelli about to explode in Kirby Plaza. By the way, loved that retconning, by the way, right at the top. Love the retconning that he didn't die, that he actually regenerated and Nathan got radiation. Oh, just so much beautiful stuff we get to talk about. But not to step on your intro too much, but we all know that, I mean, television shows, they take a little while to grow into things. You know, Jay, you're probably going through toilet training your children. It's very similar, right? Like, you can't put the kid on the potty and expect for gold to come out of it. You need to sort of wean them onto it and make them, they need to learn sort of how the way that things run. Every great show does that. And so I think that we are truly exploring the epoch of the show, probably the greatest piece of dramatic television that I have ever seen, at least in the form of Heroes.
If argues with us that season two is not the greatest television in television history, I will hunt you down and punch you in the face.
Jack, that's very aggressive of you. Mike, famous for his hot takes, is coming out with a hot take right off the bat in this episode.
I do like how you rolled that Peter Petrelli hot take.
and when we looked at it, you know, there's so much great podcasting out there, but there's just a total lack of podcasts that really dig into season two of Heroes. We've had Heroes Reborn, and we felt, you know, now more than ever is the time to make this podcast, release this podcast, Heroes with Jay, Jack, and Mike Reborn.
So nothing like 2 years after the reboot of Heroes Reborn for this podcast come out. Really, our timing is absolutely key here.
Well, like a fine wine, you have to let things age properly before you.
I'm telling you, nothing
them.
Has aged better than Heroes Season 2, more than 10 years after the fact.
How many times have you guys rewatched it? I do it like once a week, but I'm kind of crazy.
I don't know if I have time for that, but that's impressive, Jack.
Yeah, I mean, I'll usually, when I'm doing something in the background, I'll usually pop on like a nice, you know, mid season three episode, you know, like a nice like Arthur Petrelli moment, just sort of play in the background as white noise. Because I can basically, you know, we can all like mouth the lines along with the characters at this point. But it's been a while, admittedly, since I've gone back to season two. You know, I pine for season two sometimes. It's those are the golden days. And I'll admit afterwards, might not have been so sunny. Maybe from like an A+ to an A-.
I stopped watching the Emmys because it got no award.
Talk about snubs.
I said, forget it. I'm done with the Emmys.
Famous snubs. It's usually in like those top 10 lists of, you know, Emmy snubs, and it's usually up there. Well, if you have listened to any other of the Jay, Jack, and Mike podcasts, you know what you're in for with this podcast. We're going to do a recap of season two, episode one, 4 months later, .. written by the incredible Tim Kring. And so we will be recapping that episode, talking about it, theorizing. We also have a couple special segments. We have a new segment with Colleen. We also have some in the field reporting from Chris in Boston at the Rhode Island Comic Con, where he is going to talk to fans waiting in line for. And this is kind of a hot take exclusive thing. The Heroes reboot. So really excited to hear, you know, ground level what the Heroes fans are talking about there. And then, as always, we'll finish out the show with some listener feedback, which should be a lot of fun. So without any further ado, gentlemen, are you ready for the Heroes recap?
So ready.
Oh, man, it's been years in the making. I'm ready for this.
All right, here we go. 4 months later, In March 2007, Suresh and Bennett are conspiring to bring the company down. Mohinder is hired by Bob Bishop of the company. The Bennetts have moved from Texas to California. Matt has divorced his wife because she was pregnant from her affair and is raising Molly with Mohinder. Molly has been having nightmares about a man who can see her. Hiro meets his hero, Kensei, in 1671 Japan, who is actually an Englishman. Twins Maya and Alejandro Herrera flee a murder charge and try to get to the United States to see Suresh's father, whom they do not know to be dead. Kato is murdered. Peter is in Ireland and has amnesia. Nathan has become an alcoholic. Whew.
That is, wow. That is TV gold.
A lot packed in.
Yeah, I mean, we all know one of the absolute best things about Heroes are the fact that they can really build their cast out to gargantuan portions, and really, it does not thin any story or plot line whatsoever. I mean, we don't get some key characters, you know, like we don't get Monica, you know, the niece of Nikki, who really plays a big role. If you can remember, Monica's the one who knows muscle memory. She watches iPod videos of Taekwondo and is able to do it. And of course, we even go one episode without the best character in television history, and that is Siler. I'm such a Siler head, a Siler stan, if you will. And it's criminal that we go even one episode without that man gracing our screens, but it just shows how fantastically large the cast is and how, you know, everyone really gets their time in the sun, and all the storylines are just... I feel like I'm Bob touching all the storylines and turning them into gold. None of them faltered. They all make perfect sense.
You know, you mentioned Siler, the greatest character in television history. You can't see it, but I have a poster of him right here.
Wow.
Talking full length?
Full length poster, and it's signed. Skyler.
Skyler?
That's how it's signed.
I don't think you went to the right person.
Yeah, I think Jack, you might have gotten ripped off there.
Oh, it's Breaking Bad. But anyway.
Because a lot of times when a season or maybe a second season or third season, they'll bring in new characters, Nikki and Paolo, anyone. They feel like out of place or just like, ugh, what's going on here? But can we talk about the new characters in this episode? Just how much weight and drama and awesomeness that it brought to the show.
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, we leave off on these like eight or so characters on a really climactic cliffhanger note, and we have no idea what's going to happen with them. But I think the idea to dedicate half the episode to a group of people that we don't know yet, whose powers we still don't know by the end of the episode. Oh, it's just... it's delicious. It's delicious to think about. Like, we make new friends, but keep the old. Like, well, mm-hmm. I want to embrace what's coming in my direction, no matter how confusing and, you know, subtitle dependent it may be.
Yeah. And I mean, Jack, you love subtitles, right? I mean, that's probably your preferred way to watch TV.
Exactly. It's great television.
So
I mean, one of the great things about Heroes as well was that, I don't know if you remember, but the fantastic ADD method that they subtitled, where every time a subtitle would come up, it just pop up on a different part of the screen for no particular reason whatsoever. It really kept you on your toes as a viewer. It's just, that brings me back.
It's true. That's true. And what's with the bleeding eyes? I mean,
that was pretty scary. I had to turn on the lights because I was watching in the dark.
It's trippy stuff. Theories there? Any thoughts what that could be or what's the deal?
I mean, my biggest theory is, you know, this is 2007. I'm pretty sure around that time, when was the Virgin Mary statue that was like crying blood, right?
Oh, yeah. When was that? That was in the the aughts.
Yeah, so I feel like this is, and Tim Kring, who is, you know, a master of narrative, and probably one of the greatest writers in the living world today. I think that's sort of his allegory for the impact of religion. And I think we might be getting some, you know, larger holistic views on the show. You know, I feel like the first season was all about like finding the power within yourself. It could be more so this season about, you know, finding the power above in a way.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, so it's like it's not even a hero complex. It's a god complex that we're tapping into this season.
and how superheroes might consider themselves gods as well. Yeah. I mean, again, Tim Kring, just layers on layers on layers that man provides.
Any chance we get Tim on the podcast?
Maybe. Yeah, he's so busy and so
busy
in demand. Like, I don't know if he'd have the time to come on the show, really.
Oh, man, love to talk to him.
Jack, any crackpot theories for you in this episode, or anything pressing that you're thinking about?
You know, I'm still trying to figure out the whole cheerleader thing, so I'm kind of stuck on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, so are you feeling? You feeling there's more to the explanation we got at the end of season one?
Oh, there's gonna have to be.
That maybe we haven't gotten yet in season two, episode one premiere.
I'm sure somewhere down the line we're gonna get all the answers that we're
Well, I feel like the answer that we got was fine. The we saved the cheerleaders so we could save the world. You know, like
I don't know what you're talking about. Heroes would never use characters past their prime. You know, when they fulfill their use, it's not like the show would say, okay, we feel like we need to keep these characters around. You know, they fill their purpose and then they're out. That's why we get this riveting storyline of Claire moving to California and going to this new high school where the girl from Glee is mean to her. And there's a boy who can fly who is sort of like flirting with her / negging her. I mean, this is really quality stuff.
I do have a theory that I think somewhere down the line, Claire is going to start singing country music.
That's crackpot, Jack. I mean, I know that's your thing, but that's saying, really crackpotty.
It's a power she has.
Okay. Country music is a difficult and complex, musical genre. So absolutely.
More than I would.
Okay, well, I think any final thoughts for this episode before we go to our news segment?
I want to go watch.
I do want to talk for a second about this lingering plot to have Mohinder Suresh and Noah Bennett, aka Horn Rim Glasses, they're infiltrating the company from the inside. I mean, granted, we haven't reached peak Mohinder Suresh yet. He hasn't injected himself with superpowers, and as we know, that was the most riveting part of the entire hero series. But that being said, I think there's a lot of intrigue going on. You know what? I love me some Stephen Tobolowsky. So if we get more of him going on with this company stuff, even though, spoiler alert, RIP George Takei, RIP Kato. You know, I loved the final scene where he gets accosted on this roof and they purposely don't show the person. He's wearing a hoodie and you can't see their face. So it's going to be one of the biggest mysteries of the series. And really, the payoff there is just... ooh, it's just sublime.
It's very true. And that's why, again, that's why we're here, Heroes with J-Jack and Mike Reborn, because this is only the beginning of our coverage of this fantastic, amazing show. All right, gentlemen, are you ready to get into our news segment?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Here we go. Colleen, welcome. Welcome to the show.
Hello, boys. Thanks for having me on.
So you are doing our Heroes in the News segment, or is that what it's called? Heroes in the News?
Well, it's whatever you want it to be called. Workshopping.
Okay. Well, I like Heroes in the News.
All right. So to start, hello.
I like.
You like Heroes in the News?
I'm fantastic.
Okay. Well, there we go. So Colleen, what do you got for us in our Heroes in the News segment?
All right. So I decided, welcome everybody, first of all, on this first edition of Heroes in the News. I decided that we were going to catch up with what the cast members have been up to. And we will start with Siler himself, Zachary Quinto. Quinto has been spreading his fingers.
I think it's Zachary Quinto.
No, it
pretty
is not.
Sure it's the emphasis is on the I. Quinto.
Hold on, Heroes fans. We should never argue.
You're right. That's true.
That's true. It's not in the spirit of Heroes. We should all cooperate.
That's code number one. I'm sorry, Jack. You're right.
Also, can I put in a brief? I don't want to argue, but I do feel like Heroes Headlines might be a better title for this segment.
Ooh, Heroes Headlines.
Ooh, Heroes like Headlines. I like the alliteration.
Since I don't argue, okay.
Well, can I finish now?
Oh, sure. Okay. You haven't even started, so go for it.
Quinto has been spreading his fingers as his career lives long and prospers as the wise Spock in J.J. Abrams' Star Trek franchise. Hayden Panettiere, who played the young cheerleader Claire Bennett, recently starred in the hit show Nashville. Panettiere is also now married to a really tall dude and has a young daughter named Kaya. Actor Milo Ventimiglia.
Okay, not to argue, I think it's Kaya.
Kaya? Actually, sure. You could be right about that. You could be right about that. You know, Heroes fans are so argumentative.
No. I'm just saying.
You also
saying,
like to cut people at Comic-Con.
No, I am just saying that it possibly could be that.
Okay. Actor Milo Ventimiglia, who portrayed nurse Peter Petrelli, now stars as America's walking advertisement for crockpot safety and why you shouldn't be a hero, a.k.a. Jack Pearson on NBC's This Is Us.
Rest in peace.
I was going to say, this is audio. They can't see that. meanwhile, Adrian Pasdar, who played Milo's brother Nathan, was promoted to a much better superheroes universe and can currently be seen as Glenn Talbot on Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Meanwhile, Ali Larder, who played twins Nikki and Tracy, was featured on a 2013 episode of The League. I love that show. I miss it. And continues to kick butt in the most recent Resident Evil movie. Noah Gray Cabay, who portrayed Nikki's adorable son, the child prodigy Micah Sanders, grew up and got really hot. He also recently graduated from Harvard University.
Dang, hot and smart.
Hot and smart.
Hot and apparently he's like a piano prodigy.
Do we, Colleen, do
triple
we
threat.
Like these actors going from such a great show like Heroes to these crappy shows?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, these are all I know you're saying these are Heroes headlines, but these feel like major downgrades.
It's like their career peaked at Heroes, and now they're like one guy, yeah, I was in Heroes, now I graduated from Harvard. Yeah, okay.
Well, if you want to speak about peaking, wait till you hear what the last two have been up to.
All right.
All right, so future Masi Oka, a.k.a. everyone's favorite time-traveling hero, Hiro Nakamura, now appears on Hawaii Five-O as the Jewish-Japanese coroner, Dr. Max Bergman. I'm glad that they don't typecast him anymore. Oh, whoa, my data must be old. Sorry.
Don't worry, we're talking about a season from 2007. You are okay.
Okay. And finally, actor Greg Grunberg, who played Officer Matt Parkman, now writes children's books and appears in whatever J.J. Abrams will cast him in.
Force Awakens, anyone?
It's so good that he got that whole I was on Lost thing and went to Heroes.
Well, that and but he was in arguably the best episode of Star Wars, Episode 7, Force Awakens. Like, everybody loves that movie. Everybody loves it.
Labeled as the pilot from, you know, Lost. It was hurting his career, but luckily Heroes came along.
Well, I think, but I'm saying, like, how talented is Greg Grunberg that he's in a show like Heroes, everybody loves it, and then he goes to The Force Awakens and really re-energizes that series of films. and you know, I mean,
well, not according
it's
to
fantastic,
him, but everybody else agrees with you.
Maybe.
I mean,
maybe.
I personally have. I'm looking at the full size poster of Greg Grunberg specifically in The Force Awakens right now, and I absolutely agree. I know that they are, you know, coming out with his spin-off movie hopefully sometime soon. I think that obviously that was the part that everyone came to see. I remember with the theater that I was in, we all let out a cheer when he said, of course, his most famous line. I won't quote it here because I know it's extremely trite, but, you know, I feel like maybe he mind warped his way into getting into every one of J.J. Abrams' films, considering that's Matt Parkman's style of operation.
Ooh, I see what you did there.
It's true. But, and I am excited for his Star Wars Origins movie, that pilot guy. It's going to be...
Yes,
he
Temin,
does a good job
Temin
playing
is,
pilots.
Well, it's he's Temin Snap Wexley, for those of you that might have momentarily forgotten. and I'm lucky to be starting my own podcast, Snap for Snap, where I talk about the exploits of Snap Wexley and just give a lot of snaps, like commending him for all the great work he's...
So, is it like Def Jam poetry? Like you're kind of snapping, clapping?
Yeah, exactly. I bring in any people who want to do any sort of free verse about the great character of Snap Wexley.
So, Mike, are you a Snap Wexley stan?
Absolutely. I mean, look, you know, Siler will always be first in my heart. But when it comes to Greg Grunberg characters, Snap Wexley, number one with a bullet, but Matt Parkman, especially later stage Matt Parkman, honestly, the best thing they could do with that character is give him the ability to essentially screw with the entire reality of the show and allow him to change realities in people's minds. Honestly, the least confusing thing the show could have ever done is give him that power. So again, thank you so much, Tim Kring, for doing that.
Yeah, definitely less confusing than Future Hero.
All right. So Colleen, does that wrap up your hero's
headlines?
That
wraps up my hero's headlines. Well, and I just like to point out that it started and ended with cast members who J.J. Abrams has helped their career. So
there you go.
All right. Very well, true. On that note, live long and prosper.
Thank you, Colleen. Heroes and headlines. Let's give her a Snap Wexley round of applause. Thank you so much. And that means it's time to go out to our field reporter, Chris in Boston, who is at the Rhode Island Comic-Con.
He's not at the Boston Comic-Con?
No. Chris in Boston goes to the Rhode Island Comic-Con.
Got it.
Yeah, he can't go back to that one.
Yeah, they won't let him back. He had his press credentials forever removed.
Was that the one where he had a fight with a Lost fan?
We can't legally discuss it on this show, but that's for another time.
He didn't put a pencil in some Lost fan's eye, right? That
wasn't him. Again, can't talk about it. So let's go to our field reporter, Chris in Boston, at the line for the Heroes Reboot. So, Chris, take it away.
Hey guys, Chris in Boston here, down in Rhode Island. Because we weren't really allowed much funding for this new podcast, I wasn't given a camera or anything to do a proper coverage of here in Rhode Island, but in Providence, Rhode Island for Rhode Island Comic Con. But I wanted to make sure I got to introduce our new show to some of the fans of Heroes who are here waiting in line for the panel for the Heroes reboot. So, without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and just kind of, introduce myself to some folks over here and see what they're excited about. Okay. Hey, man, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, man? Hey, how are you?
Good. Thanks. Hey. So my name's Chris in Boston. I'm here with Jay and Jack's Heroes Reboot podcast. And I just wanted to say hello and say I see you're waiting in line here for the Heroes Reboot panel.
Yeah, I'm wicked excited. I can't wait to get in there and see what they're doing.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, you're a big fan of Hero, are you?
I am. He's probably, I think he's my favorite character on the show, definitely.
Awesome.
I love Hero.
So what are you most looking forward to in this upcoming season of the Heroes Reboot?
I mean, I'm just really excited to see a lot of the character development, like what are they going to do with Peter Pacelli? Like what's going on with Hero? There's just a lot that I think they didn't tie up at the end that I'm really excited to see now, I'm like, just more Hero.
One might actually say that they actually didn't do anything at the end.
Or enough. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
Cool. Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, dude.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Hey, my name's Chris. I'm just here just talking with people who are fans of Heroes and just kind of seeing what you guys are looking forward to. So you're in line for the panel for the new Heroes Reboot. So I'm just curious, what are you most excited about?
Well, I'm a really big fan of This Is Us, and this is the cheapest way to see Milo Ventimiglia because he was on the show.
Okay. Okay. Well played, I guess. Thank you.
No problem.
Unfortunately, there's only two people in line for this panel. So I'm running out of people to interview. But, hey, here's somebody. Hang on one second. Hey, how you doing, man?
What's going on,
hey,
man?
Welcome. Hey, my name's Chris. I'm just I'm introducing myself to the folks here at the Heroes Reboot
man,
panel.
Yeah, man, super excited.
And
huge fan.
Yeah, awesome. I'm glad to hear that. So what are some of the things you're most looking forward to in the Heroes Reboot?
I mean, come on. These guys are, some of the biggest heroes ever. Coach Boone. You got to love Coach Boone. I mean, yeah. Hayden Panettiere. Look at that, that filmography she's got. It's crazy. So you got to love that. Huge fan.
So Coach Boone. Wait. Dude, are you talking about Remember the Titans?
Yeah, that's what we're all here for. It's a Coach Boone fan club. What are you talking about?
No, man.
Coach Boone!
This is the Heroes Reboot panel.
What? The show with the... What?
The Reboot. That's, reboot bit.
Is that the show? Oh, no. Nope, guys. Roll it out. Wrong panel. We gotta go. Wrong panel.
All right, he's gone. Well, I got you guys here, Just so you know, we have a new podcast coming out. Jay and Jack presents the Heroes Reboot podcast. I was wondering if you guys might be interested in subscribing.
Oh, no, thank you.
Yeah, I actually wouldn't be. I would not be. Yeah, I would not be interested. No.
No.
But okay. Thank you. Thank you for coming down. And
thank you.
Thank you. Okay, guys. So yeah, this is Chris in Boston in Providence saying bye. Shoot.
Chris, thank you for that fantastic field journalism.
You don't have to listen or subscribe. Just give us a 5-star review.
Yeah, and honestly, I feel like the best geniuses receive the most adversity, right? I mean, look at the man we have mentioned so many times, the beautiful words that have escaped our lips so many times tonight, Tim Kring, you know, unfairly mocked for his taking over of Heroes Season 2. But did he relent? No, he just kept on digging that hole he dug for himself. And I tell you, eventually he did strike that treasure, or at least hit the Earth's core.
There you go. That's true. And you know, I'm excited to see where Chris in Boston calls us from next. And again, sorry that we didn't have enough money to give you a video rig set up.
You know, we should do
but
some kind
to be honest, it's better not to see your face on the show.
Raise money to get Chris a camera.
But again, do we want to see him? It's kind of like a win-win situation.
People in line, though. People in line would be okay.
Thank you for that segment. It is now time for the best part of any J-Jack and Mike podcast. It's time for listener feedback. So you guys ready to get into this?
There's nothing from Ethan, is there?
No Ethan. Ethan on this. So I think we're fine. I think we're okay.
All right, cool.
Listener feedback.
All right, it's listener feedback time. This first call is from a Shandy, so let's go to that call right now.
Hey, so why do they have to save the cheerleader to save the world? Why couldn't the cheerleader just be the one to save the world?
Huh, interesting thought there, Shandy. I mean, to the group here, why couldn't the cheerleader save the world?
Because she wasn't a male cheerleader.
I Shandy, I feel like that's a good call out. Right.
I mean, but to Jack's point made earlier, do we still think that maybe there's an overall prophecy for her to fulfill, where maybe they stumble upon some sort of ancient mine and we see the words "save the cheerleader, save the world" scrawled on it, but then a rock falls away and with it comes the first save, so it just says "the cheerleader, save the world," and then minds get blown. And honestly, I'm just planning this Heroes reboot. I don't want to spoil anything for the panel, but I feel like that's going to be a key plot point.
I think that's a great opening. It's like they're you know, archaeologists, and they're kind of brushing away the debris, and bam, that's the reveal. That's
so
great.
Had cheerleaders for hundreds of thousands of years. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, yeah, it's well known.
Okay, all right.
And here's the thing, there's male cheerleaders, so really
that's why I'm saying it.
It could go, but yeah, no, Mike, that's a great hot take. Full of hot takes today, Mike.
I mean, but we could also argue, being that one guy at the Rhode Island Comic Con, Hiro Nakamura gave him lots of cheer, so maybe Hiro was the actual cheerleader.
There you go. It's true. Could take it many different ways. All right, this next call is from Amanda in Brooklyn. So, Amanda, take it away.
Hey, guys. It's Amanda from Brooklyn. I'm so glad you guys are doing this podcast because I just started watching the show. So, like, perfect. But anyway, I was watching and I noticed something kind of interesting that I wanted to call in and talk to you guys about. So I don't know if you guys noticed this or not, but when you add up all the numbers on the show, they equal 108. And I just thought that was so crazy. So I don't know, maybe that's something you guys have talked about. Maybe it's not. I just wanted to pass it along. Anyways, I'm such a big fan and I'm so glad you guys are doing this podcast. And I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Wait, wasn't that from that crappy show Lost?
No, I think maybe Tim Kring was the one that actually came up with that. So really,
okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's a pretty well-known story among Hollywood where, you know, Tim Kring in his infinite wisdom was, and walked out of a Starbucks after using the bathroom without paying for anything. And he scrawled something on a napkin 4-8, 15, 16, 23, 42, just random scrawlings I think he was going to use for some sort of other purpose. And, you know, in his escape to probably create another perfectly crafted piece of pop culture, the napkin just slid to the ground at the shoe of a young Damon Lindelof, who then went on to pick it up and decided to create something of it. So, I mean, if I can, anything I can say, they maybe have co-ownership of it. So let's hope that this wasn't a mistake call. But yeah, unfortunately, you know, after the first season of Lost came out, Tim had to go back to the drawing board and say, okay, let's cross out these numbers. But man, I've got something much more in store. Secret triplets. Let's make it happen, people.
Now, was it true that the theory with the numbers, that the 4-8-15, was that Tim was a big Dodger fan and those are all great Dodger players?
Maybe. I always heard it as Tim Kring, you know, big star, big, like in terms of writers, showrunners, like the best. Yeah. And so he sees a fledgling Damon Lindelof, like stressing out, struggling to come up with something for the show that he's working on. And the way I heard it was he scribbled it on the napkin and he was like, here you go, kid. Let me throw you a bone.
So like, it was like a Mean Joe Green Coke commercial type of thing. Like, hey, kid, catch.
And he hands him basically the basis for his entire show. And, you know, the rest they say is history. That's how I've heard it. But I get, you know, it's one of those things where you get different takes of the same story.
Is that why Lindelof left Twitter, because of the shame of him stealing the numbers?
Well, I'd see from that perspective, that was given to him by, you know, Tim. Like, Tim, you know, chiseled the tablets of this, of his show for him, just, you know, on a whim. Okay. As he was leaving the bathroom at Starbucks. But
he wrote two words at the bottom of it, Greg Grunberg, and then just sort of left it at that. And that's I think that's sort of what got, he sort of said, like, hey, JJ, I'm on the phone right now. It's me, Damon Lindelof. You know, I got this name on this piece of paper. You know that new sound you've been looking for? Well, listen to this, Greg Grunberg. And the rest was history.
Nice. Wow, that's incredible. I mean, it's just the way that Tim Kring is just intertwined between all the pop culture that we love is incredible. He's just like,
he really is the Jacob in a way.
Yeah, it's true. It's very true. All right, let's go to this next call. This one is from Joel. So Joel, take it away.
Hey, Jay and Jack, Joel here, just calling in, first time caller. I love your Heroes podcast. I haven't gotten to season two yet. I'm waiting for the Blu-ray disc to come out. But I had a question that's just been eating a hole in me. So Siler informs Mr. Bennett that as soon as he gets out of containment, he's going to collect one more ability from his daughter. To my knowledge, they've never met before, so this would be like the first time that they've actually met face-to-face. How does Siler know Claire Bennett is Mr. Bennett's daughter? If you have any insight into this, it's been killing me for a few years now. Like I said, the Blu-ray should be coming Amazon Prime in a few days. But I don't want to spoil myself. I'm going to read this answer, listen to this podcast after I get the disc and have watched season two in its entirety. Thanks so much. And please let me know.
Well, thank you, Joel. So hopefully we can dissect that for you. But I might say, Jack, since you are the Skylar Siler biggest fan, what are your thoughts here?
I just think that's part of his power.
Okay.
I mean, it's just... To me, it's just a simple answer. Sometimes you can overthink stuff, which I don't like people that do that. You know, they just look for the craziest answers they can. But you just, sometimes it's just as simple as he just knows. I mean, he has that ability.
I have heard there was a deleted scene, and maybe this is how the Blue Waves will help, because, you know, those damn suits at NBC, they didn't let Kring put this in. But I remember that when Siler is traveling back with Maya, that he ends up killing a trucker at a rest stop in Modesto and takes his superpower to instantly know the genealogy of every person that he touches. It's a really kind of innocuous superpower, but it's a lot of fun to touch someone and essentially get their entire familial history. And I remember that, you know, Siler just sort of like puts his hand up to the glass like a certain Star Trek character, and Bennett does the same thing. And then in that moment, even though there's glass between them, his powers are strong enough that he just sort of gets this glimpse of, okay, she's his adopted daughter. I know who she is. So a little bit of like a secret history behind that, but yeah, I can understand why it might be more of a plot contrivance on first glance.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. And we have two more calls. Next one's from Nick, and after that we have one for Matt. But let's jump into this call from Nick.
Hey, guys, this is Nick. I was just calling the first to say great job on season one of Heroes. You guys just fell right back into it. You know, you guys kept it fresh and interesting to listen to. But I'm a little disappointed that Jack thinks it's better than Lost. You know, like, what's up with that, Jack? But it's only season one. We'll see how it goes. I did have a few nitpicks, though, with the finale. Because, I mean, come on, guys. First and foremost, after that huge build, that's it? I mean, talk about milking it, the show, for next season. I just didn't even get it. I was like, what? That huge thing, like, oh, so exciting, and so many mysteries, and then it's like, meh. But, I mean, the whole premise was that the season was to stop the explosion in New York, and it focused on Hero trying to stop it, but it never happened. He just was like, yeah. And then, don't even get me started with Skyler. For all that, oh, did he get away? We don't know. It's just like, we'll go up in the sky and that's it. It's like, I just felt it made like all the heroes look weak. Like, what is this? You know? And then Peter has all these powers. I mean, why couldn't he just fly himself into space? Game over. You know, that's it. Like, let's get rid of this evil guy and we'll have another one for next season. Come on. Just lazy writing. You know, it's kind of like Darth Vader just going, no. And then Save the Cheerleader, Save the World. Why was that so important? It just kind of whimpered out. I mean, hopefully they can figure it out in season two. Maybe a little face. We'll see. But keep up the good work, guys.
Well, a lot of nitpicks from Nick.
I got a question. Why do people from Tennessee hate everything?
Yeah, I mean.
That's my only complaint. I mean, how can you watch this show and have a list of complaints about it? I mean, anyone complains
yeah, that's
about the finale of season one. We should even play their calls, to be honest with you.
And then, I mean, to their point, though, as we talked about before, I think season one was when they were trying to figure a lot of stuff out. I really don't think they solidified what the show is going to be about until season two. So, you know, Nick, fear not. Moving forward in season two, they will no longer make, you know, ridiculous things happen for plot's sake. They will no longer build up things only for them to fizzle out. They will no longer build up mysteries only for them to go unanswered. Those things are all absolutely nipped in the bud at end of season one. Season two starts over in a brand fresh new way that satisfies every single sense that you have in your body.
I got a theory that it's Nick, right?
Yes.
He'll still find something to complain about.
Well, listen.
Yeah, negative Nick.
Yeah, negative Nick. There we go.
Sure,
negative
I'm sure,
Nick.
I'm sure he hates Shakespeare, too.
But, you know, a bold proclamation again. You know, it's how do you not support it? Because I agree with it 100%. So hopefully Nick, things get a little bit better for him. Because it seems like he's just in a bad place right now. He's just very negative. Negative Nick. And hopefully things get better for him. Because I just can't agree with your feedback.
He sounds
here.
Like a downer. I don't know.
All right. Well, let's get to our last bit of feedback here. It is from Matt, and he says he has a top three list for us. So maybe a top three.
Wow. Top three.
Yeah. So let's get into Matt's call right now.
I hope it's a great list.
I'm just have a feeling like a guy named Matt. He's gonna have an awesome top three list. Just my hot take. If I could have a hot take, that would be my thoughts.
I'll allow you one.
Thank you. All right, here we go. Matt, take it away.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm calling in because, you know, as much as I love Lost, Heroes is just so much better. And I kept thinking about, like,
Amen.
All of the ways
Amen.
That Snaps. Heroes is just, like, far superior than Lost. And though it's really hard for me to narrow it down, I've came up with three, I think, rock solid, like, reasons why Heroes is just going to go way beyond Lost. Okay. Number three, Siler.
It is a tough name.
That Siler guy, he's a watchmaker. Okay. I mean, that's like a really evil thing to be as a villain. And I just think, like, you can't have a villain that's like scarier than a watchmaker. Number two, no flashbacks. I mean, come on. Those flashbacks, how old is that? Like, this show, Heroes is all about character development and not getting all like weird with timeline stuff. You know, it all makes sense, really. But the number one reason why Heroes is so much better than Lost, it's not on an island. I mean, come on. Like, islands are so boring. Like, you know, this gets to take place all around the world, and you have to save the world, not just a stupid island. So I'm sticking with Heroes. This show is going to blow up. I think it's going to be so much better than that stupid Lost thing. All right. Thanks. And I love Jay and Jack.
Thank you, Matt. Mike snub there, though.
That's fine. I've been snubbed in every single one, but you know what? Some of the best people and characters have been snubbed before, including in Heroes. I will again draw attention to the great character of Monica from really made this season two. But I got to say, I mean, you know, in complete opposition to our previous caller, got to agree with every single point that Matt made here on his fantastic list.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even think about it. Like, how stupid is an island is like a location, you know?
My only question was Matt Stone. He kind of sounded high, didn't he?
No, I thought he sounded perfectly.
I thought he sounded like he was high.
All his mental functions were top notch.
But I love his point about the lack of flashbacks, because all we need are, you know, two characters like we see with Maya and Alejandro here, who come into a scene. We have no idea who they are, and they say essentially, hello, she's my sister, I'm her brother, we need to go to the American border. And like, that is just essential exposition, you know? Not clunky at all.
Going back to great writing.
Yeah, just smooth. It really smooths in. Like, why do we need to see these characters in previous places? Why do we need to show, not tell? Let's just tell all you want to.
Yeah, because flashbacks just get in the way. Like, they don't add anything. They don't make me care about these characters anymore. Or, you know,
yeah, like, John Locke was in a wheelchair. He's walking now, you know?
That's my biggest complaint on This Is Us. Always going back.
It's like, let's live in the now, okay? Let's stop, you know, worrying. Let's live in for today.
Yeah, sounds like Nick was running Lost. He's so focused on the past.
It's very true. Negative Nick. I'm sorry, man. Just so sorry.
Well, it's his own fault. He's just so negative.
Yeah, it's true. It's, you know, get help, Nick. Get help. All right. Well, I think that wraps up this first episode of Heroes with Jay, Jack, and Mike Reborn. I had a blast. This was great. Thank you.
I'm going to have a hero sandwich.
I'm going to have a gyro myself. Lamb and cucumber sauce.
And I'm going to go drink a Biro. I guess that will fit in.
Look for more episodes to come. And
What are you guys thinking? Like, tri-weekly? Like, we record three a week? We got to catch up to essential reboot.
I think so.
I could do one every day.
Ooh, daily. Maybe.
Daily. I like that.
Yeah. So it definitely at least try weekly. So be on the lookout for that and subscribe to Heroes with Jay, Jack, and Mike Reborn. Give us a call at 385-309-0311.
Calling time.
Once again, 385-309-0311. Calling time for questions, comments, and or theories. Send an email to heroeswjjmr_2007@gmail.com. Once again, that's heroeswjjmr_2007@gmail.com. And join our Facebook at facebook.com/group/JayandJack group. Also launching today is our new store where you can buy t-shirts with different artwork from our different podcasts that we do on this network, most especially Heroes with Jay, Jack, and Mike Reborn.
I don't want to disappoint people. It's not all just hero stuff.
Well, there is some other. There is our Lost podcast stuff on there.
Oh, God. Did you have a big bucket of those because they didn't sell and you have to just sort of push them out?
Yeah, I mean, we've been sitting on those for a decade.
You know, help, it does wonders to wash your car and stuff.
But also...
Yeah, but I, I know that I'm personally, I'm really excited about the Siler is my Guiler buttons that I've been pushing out. So I'm sitting on at least like 1,000 of them. So I'm excited to, they're going for like, how many do you think we're going to sell, Jack?
I think you'll sell them out the first day.
Sell out. First day sell out. That's
the store.
I mean,
I don't know what the capability of the store is, but I'm a little worried that it's going to crash. The store.
When people are sharing this episode, hashtag Siler is my Guiler. I think that's what it's got to be. Promote the shop and also promote this fantastic show that we just podcasted about. You can find all of that on jandjack.com/shop. Also on teespring.com/stores/jandjack. I want to thank people that make this show possible. Our patrons over at patreon.com/jandjack, especially Tack from Tokyo.
All our patrons are heroes.
They are.
Mm-hmm.
Tack from Tokyo, Eckhart Richter, Molly the Millennial, Ed the Letter Carrier, and Maggie. I think we're still, they supposed to say Maggie the Hero. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, maybe that works. And all of our patrons, you're all heroes to us, and that we would not be able to do any of these shows without you, especially Heroes with J-Jack and Mike Reborn. Also, coming up soon, Westworld with Jay, Jack, and Mike coming in fast.
I'm gonna be blunt. That's kind of a letdown to do Westworld after doing Heroes.
That's true.
It'll be tough to pry us away from our eyes being glued to the beauty on screen that is Heroes season 2 and beyond. But you know what? I'll muster some excitement to sit down and talk about the Westworld season 2. I saw there was some Shogun stuff going on, much like my beloved Hero season 2. Let's hope that we get some Adam Monroe showing up there in all his, in all his immortal glory. So that's what's keeping me fueled personally.
That's true. That's true. Be on the lookout. We're doing like a season 2 preview probably a week or so before season 2 starts, and then back in the full swing of thing with season 2 of Westworld. All right, I think that'll do it. Happy April 1st, everyone, and we'll see you next time. Hasta luego, and goodbye.
Bye. Gotcha.